Genesis chapter 22. Go there with me if you would in the Word of God. One of the reasons why I know he loves me is because he says it so much in this book. Chapter 22, verse number 1. And it came to pass. Somebody saying it came to pass after these things. No, you can't talk the whole service. Okay. You get one phrase here and there and then just be quiet. Okay. We have to double the time if you echo every phrase. Y'all want to do that? All right, let's try it just one time. And it came to pass. All right, no, don't stop. After these things, that God did tempt Abraham. Said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, I pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. The longer we walk with you, sometimes the tougher it gets. But I pray, God, you'd help us to not fail you when it matters the most. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We've been walking our way through the book of Genesis, and at this point in time, we're dealing with the man Abraham. We began discussing him when nobody knew him. God found him in the middle of nowhere. You say, Pastor, where's nowhere? I'll tell you where he is. It's where God found you. In the middle of nowhere. You say, I was in a city. I had an address. I had a zip code. When it came to significance, you were in the middle of nowhere. And the reason why you're somewhere tonight and you're somebody tonight is not because of who you are, but because of who God is. God validates us. God gives us significance. God gives us value. And God found Abraham when he was a nobody and made him a somebody. And I'm glad he's still in the business of making nobodies somebodies. And so we walk with him from the beginning. God found him, called him out. By the way, he began by following God and listening to God. And all the way up until now, he's over 100 years old. And every step along the way, God has proven himself to be true. He's proven himself to be faithful. He's proven himself to be a God of his word. He's proven himself to be a God that keeps his promises. He's shown Abraham his grace. He's shown Abraham his mercy. He's shown Abraham his long suffering. He's shown Abraham his forgiveness. And here Abraham is in chapter 22, still moving on with God. By the way, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Chapter 22, he was engaged in what we call neighborhood watch. He was watching somebody and somebody was watching him. How many of you know somebody's watching you? Chapter 22, the stakes are going to get higher. Chapter 22, the bar is going to get higher. In chapter 22, we're going to find Abraham at a crossroad in his life that he'd never been at before. From the moment that God had started working with Abraham, Abraham had to pass some tests. He began by passing a family test. He had to leave home. He passed it. Then he had a famine test. He messed up. He went down to Egypt. He got back right, and then he had a fellowship test when it came to whether he was going to hang with Lot. He had a fight test when it came to rescuing Lot. He had a fortune test when it came to accepting something from Sodom. He had a fatherhood test that he failed by going outside with Hagar and birthing Ishmael. And then he had a farewell test when he had to send her and Ishmael away, and he passed that test. Test after test after test after test. Some he failed, some he passed, but yet test. Chapter 22, he's got a final exam. And God's going to put all of those tests in review. And one has built upon another, and another has built upon the other, and another has built upon another. Each individual test has collectively built, if you would, a body of work, a body of research in Abraham's life to bring him to this point. Somebody follow me tonight, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And sometimes test right here is God helping us right here, and test right here is God helping us right here, and test right here is God helping us right here. But when we get here, it's all of those tests that have helped us along the way that get us ready for this one. You know, when you come to the end of the year, all of those reviews, all of those lessons, all of those chapters, all of that studying is all put to the test. It's a final exam. If you flunk this, you're in trouble. Now, anybody that's been in school for any length of time understands that you have a final exam, but it's not your final exam. It's just a final for that year. You have several final exams. And after a little while, you're going to start over again with the smaller test, and they're going to grow, and they're going to get bigger, and then you're going to have to final exam. And then when you go to the next grade, you're going to start with tests all year long, and at the end of the year, you're going to have a final exam. And I want to tell you, if you're going to serve God for any length of time, you got to pass some family tests. You got to pass some famine tests. You got to pass some fellowship tests. You got to pass some fight tests. You got to pass some fortune tests. You got to pass some fatherhood tests. You got to pass some farewell tests. And let me tell you something. It behooves you to make sure you pass the test along the way so you're ready for the final. And this final test is a faith test. They've all been faith tests, but this is a big one. And you're going to have to take it. Listen, he can't avoid it. He can't go around it. He can't no-show it. He's got to take it. And watch this now. He's going to pass it or he's going to fail it. By the way, we're going to find out in Genesis 22, he passed it with flying colors. And by the way, anytime you pass a test in the work of God, it's always for your benefit. Somebody say amen. Now, some folks in the building tonight are going through a test. You're going through a trial. You're going through a difficulty. And you don't quite understand it. It doesn't make sense. It feels like it's too rigorous. It feels like it's too much. It feels like there's too much information in one setting. Could I tell you, all along the way, God's been teaching you. All along the way, God's been directing you. All along the way, God's been preparing you. If you're going through something right now, it's not too big, it's not too broad, it's not too much. I'm glad that there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Somebody say amen. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it? Believe it or not, you're ready. If you're willing. Tonight, I just want to look at two aspects, even if we get to two. On this final exam, we're all going to go through it. By the way, what happens if I fail, Pastor? You got to take it again. Huh? Well, I don't know why I keep going through the same thing. If you keep flunking, you're going to keep going through it. By the way, God's not a mean God. God's not an unjust God. God's not an unfair God. God wants you to pass. Somebody say amen. and he's giving you everything you need to pass. Somebody say amen. By the way, he's giving you grace that is sufficient. He's giving you mercy that's everlasting. He's giving you his truth that endures. He's giving you the Holy Ghost of God that lives inside of you. He's giving you peace that passeth all understanding. He's giving you the joy that is your strength. You can step up and stand up and determine by the grace of God, you'll not only take the test, you'll pass it. Now, write down number one, Abraham's final exam, the final exam for you and me. Write down, if you would, the supreme proctor. So who's proctoring this test? I mean, we took a test in school. Somebody administered it, right? Let's look in Genesis 22, first of all, that it came to pass after these things, okay? What are these things? I'll tell you what these things are. The other tests he passed, leaving your family, dealing with your fellowship, making a stand on where you're going to take fortune from. I mean, in Genesis chapter 21, his most recent after these things was the dismissal, if you would, of Hagar and Ishmael. That was a test he had to pass. And watch this now. Now he's over 100 years old. And in the mind of this old man, good gracious alive, I've taken a lot of tests at this point. I've lived my life. I've done my job. And now in this fourth chapter of my life, I will enjoy what I call a supposed calm. Surely after that last test, saying goodbye to my own son so that God could let me dismiss the permissive to embrace the perfect. Surely I'm done. I can have it made in the shade drinking pink lemonade. And then God says, nope. Even after you think you're done, you're not. After these things, there was a supposed calm. But then there was a specific call. Notice verse 22, chapter 22, verse number 1 says, God did tempt Abraham. Would you say that with me? God did tempt Abraham. James says God cannot tempt man with sin. Neither can he be tempted with sin. Is James right? Is Genesis right? How can James and Genesis both be right? Well, they're two different words. The tempt in the New Testament, in James chapter 1, this parazo literally means to entice to sin. Can I tell you, God's never going to try to get you to sin. Somebody say amen. Now he'll allow you to be in a lot of situations, but God will never try to get you to sin. And by the way, God is never enticed to sin. In Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says that God led the Lord Jesus Christ, his own son, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The devil tried all he could to get the sinless Son of God to fall into sin. But could I tell you, not only did Jesus would not sin, he could not sin, because manifested in the flesh was God the Son. He wasn't tempted to sin. He wasn't drawn to sin. He has no sin nature. He was born of a virgin without any draw to sin at all. He wasn't going to sin because God cannot sin. But the word in Genesis 22 is not to entice. The word nosso in the Hebrew is to test, to assay, to prove or to try. Abraham, after a supposed calm, there was a specific call. God didn't just make a general beckoning. He said, Abraham. Could I tell you, when it's time to take a test, you'll know it's time, because God will call you by name. And you can't send someone to take it for you. Notice the supposed calm, the specific call. Write down in your notes, if you would, the studious concurrence. Behold, here I am. No. Here's what I got out of this. Proctor God decided, I'm administering a test. But you know what I like about Genesis 22, verse number 1, behold, here I am. It's not only did proctor say, I'm giving the test, student said, I'll take it. Somebody say amen. See, it does no good for the teacher to administer it if there's not a student that will take it. Now, somebody here tonight, wait a minute now. Abraham didn't even know what God was going to say. Abraham didn't even know what God was going to do. Abraham didn't even know where God was going to take him. But what he did know was that same voice that had called him from the Ur of the Chaldees, that same voice that had told him he would have a son, that same voice that showed up and said, "There's nothing too hard for me," that same voice that had led him all the way. He didn't need details. He didn't need specifics. He didn't need a lot of information. All he needed to know was, God called my name. Now listen to me now. You want to live for God? You want to honor God? Stop waiting for all the specifics. If he calls your name, show up. This is now, here I am. I'm here. Why are you here? Because you called me. A final exam, if you would, in Genesis 22. Begins with a supreme proctor. Does God give tests? You better believe it. Now listen. Maybe you're one of those Christian people that has been ignoring God's voice because you're afraid of the test he's inviting you to. You say, "Pastor, how in the world could I avoid the test?" Well, when you decide not to pick up your Bible, you're trying to avoid the voice. When church is going on and you decide not to come, you're trying to avoid the voice. When the Holy Ghost of God's working inside of you, come on now, if he's in there, he's working inside of you. And the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. That means to put in intense pain. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. That means to extinguish or to put out. I'm glad that when God put the Holy Ghost inside of me, he didn't put some little Jiminy Cricket. He put a fire inside of me that when I'm wrong, tells me I'm wrong. And when I need help, it gives me the power to do right. And when the fire of the Holy Ghost of God starts erupting inside of you and you extinguish, it, you're trying to avoid his voice. Somebody tonight, God is preparing you for a final exam. And he's not going to give you the test paper until he first gets you to come to the classroom. Don't skip class. Now listen to me. Stop skipping class. I'm not just talking about getting your head in the building. I'm talking about getting your heart in sync with God. You can be in the church service and not actually in the class. Somebody say amen. We count your head. God counts your heart. I could spend a lot of time moving forward, but I just want you to get this. Some of us, the thing we're missing in the Christian life is not showing up at church, not standing in our ministry, not teaching our class, not even dropping our tithe in the offering plate. Those, my friend, are rudimentary details of the Christian life. They seemingly accompany salvation, but what God is looking for is a studious concurrence, a seeming ongoing availability that just says, "I come when I'm called. I come when I'm summoned. I show up when God asks me." Why? I've learned enough about him that it really doesn't matter what he says next. If he's the one that's saying it, I'm here. The supreme proctor. Let me give you one more and we'll go home. Well, we're dismissed. Y'all don't ever go home. The supreme proctor, but secondly, if you would, the significant price. Whew. Okay, God, you want me to take a test? All right, I'll take one, but wait a minute, Abraham. It's going to cost you. Look at this moment. It's going to cost you. Could you hear me tonight? The will of God won't cost you most things. It'll cost you everything. Well, you say, "Pastor, there's a lot of stuff I had before I said yes to God. I still have it." He may not take it away, but he is going to demand you make it available to him. Abraham, here I am. Teacher, teacher, you having class? I'm here. I'm in my desk. I got my pencil. I'm ready. Now tell me about the test. Well, this test involves a special person. Take now thy son. Wait, God, I'm good on the test because you've never failed me. You called and I came. You're the teacher, I'm the student. You're in the classroom and so am I. You're at your desk and I'm at mine. I'm ready to take the test. Give me an easy question. Take your son. Not him. Not him. Take now thy son. The emphatic relationship of a son. Take now thine only son, Isaac, the exclusive relative of the son, Isaac. And then he said, whom thou lovest, the endeared reality of, watch now, this special person has an emphatic relationship, an exclusive relative, an endeared reality. And don't forget the emblematic representation of Isaac. Not only was he the son, not only was he the only son, not only was he the son that Abraham loved, he represented the entire future of God's covenant. Isaac was emblematic. Now look at this moment. The instructions on the test didn't even make sense. God, we've spent all these chapters getting ready for Isaac to show up. I mean, you chewed me out for going around you and having Ishmael. And then you told me to get rid of Ishmael so that Isaac could stand in his place in the covenant line of your promise. God, Ishmael's gone. Stop just a moment. If I'm Abraham and if you're Abraham, guess what you're thinking? Take now thy son. Oh, okay. I'll send out some servants to find out where Hagar and him settled down, and we'll bring him back. We sent him away, and you know, Abraham's probably thinking, thanks, God. You probably were testing me there to see if I'd get rid of him. Now you want me to go get him back, right? No, not him. Isaac. Watch this. Thine only son. You say he wasn't his only son. He was the only son from Sarah. It was only son he had the right way. Somebody say amen. Sometimes what you acknowledge as legitimate, God doesn't acknowledge. Say amen, for I preach on it for about 7 minutes. Listen now, there's a lot of things you list as blessings, and sometimes God doesn't even acknowledge them because they're not blessings because he didn't send them down. You broke in somewhere and stole them. Amen. Come on now. Now, he said, thine only son. By the way, he already proved in chapter 21, God did, that he cared about Ishmael, because when Ishmael cried, God heard the voice of the lad. So don't tell me God's unkind and he doesn't care about Ishmael. I'm just simply saying, you're never going to get God to equate the permissive will of God with the perfect will of God. It sits by itself and nothing compares to it. So there's a lot of junk in your trunk that you put there. And when God starts talking spiritual, he talks as if it doesn't even exist. Thine only son, whom thou lovest. Wow. You mean final exams involve special people? Wait a minute. Isn't it amazing that in chapter 21, Abraham had to get rid of someone in his life that was no good? At the time, Ishmael was mocking Isaac. He was no good for the family. In chapter 22, he has to get rid of someone that is good. Now, please don't miss this. The issue in Genesis 21 and 22 is not necessarily what Abraham did with Ishmael or what he had to do with Isaac. The issue here in Genesis 21 and 22 is Abraham's willingness to offer either to God. however God does it. I mean, if I'm Abraham, you know what I'm thinking? Why couldn't I just kind of send Isaac away and kill Ishmael instead of sending Ishmael away and killing Isaac? How many know when the teacher's giving the exam, the student doesn't make up the questions? Now watch this now. There are Christians in the building that have gotten this far into the classroom, into the desk, pencil in hand, paper on the table, ready to take the test. And then the teacher said, that one you love the most. And some Christians did this. I ain't taking this test. Watch this now. God, you can ask me for anything, but not him. You can ask me for anything, but not that. You can send me anywhere, but not there. Listen to me. You fail the test if you don't follow the instructions completely. So the test involves a special person. The test also involves a specific place. Take now thy son Isaac, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. How many know God's specific? Go to Moriah! By the way, you're going to take this test, but you're not going to take it at a place that's convenient to you. Not only am I going to give you a final exam, I'm going to make you journey 3 days to get there. A strenuous distance. 3 days. Could God not have said, take him round back? Could God not have said, take him just a stone's throw away? Could God not have made an already difficult decision much easier by not making Abraham walk 3 days? Can I tell you, God wasn't trying to wear down his cardio or to make him tired. He wanted Abraham to make sure that what he did, he really meant it. So think about it for 3 days. And every step he took, he had to decide, am I serious about this or not? For 3 days. Amen. See, God gonna give you some final exams. And those final exams will not be flippant decisions that you make in a minute and 23 seconds at this altar. There are gonna be some decisions you're gonna have to ponder for some days. You're gonna have to contemplate for some weeks. Amen. It looks good running up here and acting like you got it all together when you go back to your seat. But the truth of the matter is, that's just the beginning. You got to ride in the car and remember that decision. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, you got to think about that decision. And on that commute and in that slug line or on that metro or at that lunch break or when you're sitting around doing nothing, God's saying, I know you said yes. I know you said you'll take the test. Well, think about it a little while. Strenuous distance. Also know, if you would, the supplied direction. He gave him Moriah, but he also said, in one of the what? One of the mountains that I will tell thee of. In other words, I tell you, God's something else. Go on over there to Moriah. It's a section over there. Well, which one in Moriah? Hush, boy. I've given you enough to get going. Amen. There's only one way to get to Moriah from your house. You start heading there. Yeah, but which mountain in Moriah? Listen to me. Obedience starts with the first step. Somebody say amen. Well, how am I going to know which mountain? How are you going to get to that mountain if you won't leave the house? Hey, there's some Christians in this building won't obey God because he won't tell you what you're going to do 3 years from now. Forget about 3 years from now. How about 3 seconds from now? Tell these young guys all the time, you got the next 10 years of your life figured out, but you can't get 10 minutes right. I'm going to pastor a church of 500, and I got the logo picked out on my website, and I've got the city picked out, and I've got the colors of the pews, and I've got the songs the choir going to sing, and tomorrow morning that joker won't even get up and read his Bible. get out to bed and start heading to Moriah if you want God to tell you which mountain. The exam involves a special person. The exam involved a specific place. And then the exam, before we close tonight, involved a sacrificial procedure. Okay. I know who. It's Isaac. I know where. It's Moriah. Now what? Here it is. Offer him there. Could I say this to you? Offerings were no strange thing to Abraham. I mean, in the last chapter, he planted a grove of trees so he could build an altar. Abraham was familiar with offering. What was unfamiliar was offering Isaac. See, can I tell you that most times in the Christian life, God's not trying to get us to do something new. He's just trying to get us to do what we've already been doing with the things that matter the most. You know, I found out most Christians don't have a problem with giving. They just have a problem with giving what means something to them.
I'm not a giver.
Yes, you are. You give to people and things. And even if you don't give to anybody, you give to yourself. You give. But God's final exam is not going to involve just giving. It's going to involve giving something that matters the most. Let me close with these two thoughts. Here's the sacrificial procedure. Extreme sacrifice. Extreme sacrifice. Notice what he says. Offer him there. But write down, if you would, extensive severity. Offer him there. What does that mean? Take your sword and kill him. That's not it. And then burn him. If it wasn't hard enough for a daddy to kill his son, now he's got to burn him. See, watch this now. When God expects sacrifice out of you, it's got to be so extensive that you give it to him with no possibility of retrieving it back. You say, God wants me to kill my children? No, but he wants you to lay them down like you never intend to take them back. Now, we'll go home in a few minutes. And for some of us, we're at a stage in our Christian life where it's crunch time. Them little 5-question tests, quizzes. Them little quick true or false. Them little one question, 100 quiz grades. All you got to do is, did you read? And you cruising through. Oh, this, watch it. Watch, this class is easy. I can ace this class without even studying. Could I tell you, you may ace some of those tests and quizzes without studying, but if you are not prepared for the final exam before you sit down in your desk, you will not pass. Pastor, I thought you said I was ready. You should be. Has God not given you enough to ready you for the exam? The question is not in the proctor's preparation. Come on. It's in the student's cooperation. Tonight, perhaps, after all these things that you've been through, and you think, well, I've been through so much, surely now it's calm down time. God's calling your name. And he's saying, this time, it's not an ordinary test. It's a final exam. Can you handle it? Our Father, I pray you help us tonight. Help us, Lord, to realize you're a supreme God. And you know how to test us. It's our chance to prove that we love you. All over the building tonight, Pastor, I feel like I'm going through one of those final exams. Would you raise your hand? I feel like I'm going through one of those final exams in some area of my life. Why don't you come to the altar tonight or make an altar of your seat or something? Say, Pastor, what's the first step in taking this exam? Here it is. Here I am. Say, God, I'm here. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to avoid. Let's stand together. Lord, would you bless the invitation like only you can, in Jesus' name. Amen.